Wifey Talk is brought to you by The Wives Club. The Wives Club is a safe space for women to be able to unpack current events, issues, or topics as it relates to relationships and marriage from a wifey's perspective. Now, everything that you hear on this platform is not Bible, so please use it at your own discretion. But hopefully you'll be able to pull little nuggets that might assist you in self-help or be able to add a little spark within your marriage. Let's get into it. Hey, wifeys, and welcome to yet another episode of Wifey Talk. I'm your host, Jasmine Swain, and I am here with the amazing Lizzie Adedokun. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did. Yes! Good job, girl.
This is her married name, y'all. And so just to give you a little bit of background, Lizzie and I actually went to middle school together, high school together, yes. And even college together, which is insane.
I know.
Life happens. And what are the odds we both ended up living and doing our professional careers in the state of Minnesota? So I'm so excited to have you here. Hi, Lizzie.
Yay. Hi, Jazz. Oh, I'm so happy to be on your podcast. I'm so honored.
Gosh, I'm so happy to have you as well. And so just so you guys know, today's episode is going to be called Doctor Your Love and Marriage. And I do mean that quite literally because Miss Lizzie is a doctor, y'all. So I'm not going to take her shine. I'm going to go ahead and let you dive right in. Let us know who we're talking to.
Yay, thank you. So I am Dr. Elizabeth Adedokun. I go by Dr. Liz or Dr. Lizzie. For some of my clients call me Dr. Lizzie. And I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Minnesota. I've lived here for 3 years with my husband and 2 young kids. I have a son who's 2.5 and a daughter who's a little over a year old. And what brought us to Minnesota was really through my PhD program. I actually just completed my PhD in August, and we came here just for me to get more experience in working with like couples and families and also individuals. So I completed my internship in 2018 when I was heavily pregnant. And so that's what I'm doing now. I'm doing family therapy, and I work with the minority population. So I work with Black and African American people who just, you know, are struggling, especially given this year and what this year has brought upon us. Mm-hmm. I'm also a wife of 3 years. My husband and I were married in the spring of 2017. And yes, he's like my best friend. I love him so much. And yeah, that's pretty much me. I'm a licensed therapist. I'm a mom of 2 kids and I'm a wife.
Yeah.
That's me in a nutshell.
Oh, and I love how humble you are. You're like, yeah, that's pretty much it. Girl, that was a lot. That was like drops mic a lot. Okay.
I know. I try to, you know me, I try to just keep it short and sweet.
Yes. Yes. Gosh. And just so you guys know, Lizzie is one of the sweetest people I think I've ever met in my life. So, first of all, just congratulations on everything from your family to professional. You're just all over it, and it's super inspiring to watch. One of the things that I often hear people ask, especially people who are still in their singleness, they'll ask the question, how did you meet your husband and how did you know he was your husband? So I just want to start with that. How did you meet your husband?
Sure.
How did you know that was your man child?
Sure. So I met my husband. His name is Cola, by the way, like Coca-Cola.
Yes.
And he's from Nigeria, and he moved to the United States in 2011 on a student visa. So as you know, we went to CMU together, Central Michigan University. And I met Cola in the library, actually. I was just minding my own business in the library. There was an empty seat next to me. Lo and behold, he took it. I'm sure it's because he was like looking at me and interested, but he just sat there and we started a conversation and ended up adding each other on Facebook. And I knew he was kind of new to the States because he just looked new. I don't know what it was. I'm like, sir, you have not been here that long. You're just fresh off the boat.
Right.
So I'm like, if you need any help or you know, need like to meet friends, like, you know, just connect with me. So this was my junior year of college. And I was all about just focusing on finishing school because I knew I was going to move for grad school. And so we kind of lost touch just because I just got so busy and, you know, I really wasn't paying any mind to people. I just wanted to focus on finishing. And I moved to Chicago in 2012. And then in 2013, I was actually in Chicago on my way back to Michigan to celebrate my birthday. And all of a sudden, Kola comes out of nowhere at the same bus stop as me, girl. And I was like, what are you doing here? And it was just so weird because, like, Chicago out of all places, you know, like, what are you doing here? So he was actually living there as well. We didn't know. We were living like 8 minutes, you know, from each other. We had no idea.
Wow.
So from there, we just started a friendship. But I knew I was moving again to Philadelphia to start my PhD program. So I was really not focused on a relationship until I moved to Philadelphia. I just was feeling like really lonely and like really thinking about my long-term goals. Like, you know, I'm in marriage and family therapy. You know, I've always wanted to get married and have kids. So 2015, we still, you know, nurtured our friendship from 2013, but in 2015, we officially started dating. And when I knew that he was my husband, I actually went on a fast from him. I didn't talk to him for like a week, just because I really wanted to hear from God and didn't want any distractions. And so, Kola has just always been there. I felt like he came into my life at like really like, you know, specific times. And I always felt at peace with him. I never felt uneasy. And the most beautiful thing about it is that he loves me flaws and all. Like, this guy knows all about me, all about my flaws and challenges. And he's always accepted me. So that's how I knew. I just really felt that peace. I didn't feel uneasy. And I just knew, like, you know, I felt safe. I felt safe with him.
Yes. Oh, gosh, you just touched on so many amazing things. The first thing I want to talk about is that feeling of safeness, right? Mm-hmm. Every woman wants to feel secure, wants
Definitely.
To feel protected. And one of the things that you just said is just that. And so, and honestly, although it seems like something that should be so common from the opposite sex, it's really not. And it's really a feeling of a surety that we have, you know, and we just know. So I love that you touched on that because I think that's something that I don't even think men are conscious of.
Exactly.
But it's so important. And
I
love that that was something that you were like, okay, no, this is it. I feel secure. I feel safe here. This is great.
Exactly. I could be myself. I didn't feel like I had to like pretend to be someone else. Like, I just felt at peace. I felt like, yeah, my whole self. So, and that's, and I do agree with you, Jazz. It's really important to feel safe in your relationship, especially emotionally safe, right? Because you don't want to feel judged or feel like you can't, you know, this is a lifelong partner. So they're going to see all of you anyway. So yeah, I agree that safety is important.
Gosh. And then the other thing that you mentioned is that you fasted from him.
Yes, I did. I did fast from him just because a lot of my friends thought I was crazy, but I really just needed that time alone with God because I feel like sometimes we get so distracted with all the cares of the world and we tend to get really lost in relationships. And I just really wanted to make sure, you know, that I was doing the right thing and making the right step. Marriage is a huge thing. So, and I knew that this was a long-term thing for me. So I really felt like fasting just kind of eased my anxiety about making that next step. So it was really helpful. And I did hear from God and it was very clear. So any Christian out there, I definitely encourage that.
Now, so was this a fasting after you got proposed to, or was this before the proposal even happened, just to make sure that you needed to move forward in the relationship?
Good question. This was before proposal. So
come
this
on,
is when...
talk to me nice.
Girl, yes, this was before proposal because I knew, we both knew, like we both were on the same page when it came to like our long-term goals of wanting to get married. So that's kind of what prompted me to like And the fast actually happened a little earlier in our relationship, maybe 3 months in. Because I just, you know, I wanted to just make sure, like, and we knew, like, we both loved each other and cared for each other. But marriage is a whole different ball game. So I just was like, let me fast and really seek God's face on this and, you know, make sure that this is really, really it. And this is really from God and not just my own, you know, my own fleshly desires. So.
And I think that's such a great investment in yourself and kind of taking that time to spend with God and ask him, mm-hmm. you know, hey, is this really what you have for me? Because a lot of times we'll pray for things, but we never take the time to sit and listen mm-hmm. to what it is that God is saying. And I think that's the biggest piece. It's like, well, I pray for this. Okay, yeah. But what did God say in regard to said prayer? Did you sit there long enough? Exactly. To hear him, you know, or did exactly. you just pray and say, girl, nope, I pray.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So I love that. And I hope for anyone who's not married, and even if you are married, and there's something that you're wanting out of your spouse, fasting is an oldie but goodie, child.
Yes, it is.
And it works. It definitely works.
Yes.
And so on the topic of family and marriage, obviously that's something that's important to you, but what kind of stood out about those things that made you say, I actually want to do this professionally?
Yes, thank you for asking such a good question. So I hate to give into that stereotype when it comes to Black families and, you know, the African-American divorce rate being the highest. But honestly, this desire of going into this field really was birthed when I was in college. And I took a marriage and family class and I learned about those stats, girl. Like, I didn't know that the divorce rate was so high among you know, Black African Americans. And so I was really, really curious about that. Like, well, why? Like, what is the breakdown and where did that come from and why? So that's what really, like, sparked my passion with really working with Black families and Black couples and really just understanding, like, what goes into that breakdown so that I can probably learn the opposite, right? Like, well, how can I help couples not go that route? So that's really what you know, birthed my passion in marriage and family therapy. And then my passion just continued to be confirmed as I, like, increased my education. So I went on to get a master's in marriage and family therapy, learned more about the human behavior and just kind of why people behave the way they do. And then I wanted to get a PhD because there's just not enough Black PhDs, girl. Like, in the U.S., there's only less than 7% of African Americans that hold a PhD, girl. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's such a small statistic. And it's just like, wow. And, you know, a lot of, and you probably know, you know, a lot of African Americans, you know, kind of shy away from therapy. But I feel like if they see people like me that look like them, they probably, you know, would let their guard down. And I've seen that myself with working with Black families and even Black kids, that, okay, well, I'm safe with my therapist. She's Black. She gets me. She sees me. So I just really want to inspire other African Americans to go into a field like this, just so that we can really strengthen the family bond and especially marriage. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's so important. Like you said, just, and it might sound trivial to say, oh, well, I need someone mm-hmm. that looks like me. But one of the things that 2020 has taught me is the invisibility that we often feel in this world, yes. specifically in America. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter where you exist, mm-hmm. but sometimes that invisibility is more powerful than anything else. So when you say, I'm wanting to do this so that my patients can feel seen, mm-hmm. God, that's so important.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I've seen firsthand just, like, you know, clients really having breakthroughs, right? That they're able to talk mm-hmm. about things that they probably can't talk with their people about or their cousins or their friends about. So it's just really beautiful to see. And I've been doing this for the past 6 years, really since 2014. So I've learned a lot. So
yeah, gosh. So I you touched on another cool point that I just want to unpack a little bit. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the perception within the Black community as it relates to therapy is not, and I don't know if it's that we are not exposed to it that much, or we just don't know that much about it. Mm-hmm. But from your perspective, do you think that marriage requires continued maintenance, whether it be through therapy or some other avenue?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, Jazz. And I say that because life is busy, right? And we tend to get so wrapped up, whether it's in our career or, you know, our parenting or our friends, we get so wrapped up in things and we can tend to neglect, you know, our marriage. It happens, right? We get busy. Life is busy. And so I always encourage, you know, especially my current clients, my couples, to do like a weekly check-in, right? Like, let's be intentional about creating space, creating time every week, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, once a week, just to do a marriage check-in. Let's check in with one another. What's going on with you? What are some things I can improve on? What are some things I'm doing well, right? So I totally am on board with continued maintenance, just because things happen, life happens, and it's so easy to get caught up in other things and, you know, neglect, you know, our significant relationships. So it's really, really important.
Yeah, and I love that suggestion. Look, I'm gonna take some notes because
yes, girl, write that down.
Because that weekly check-in, gosh, that's something I never thought about. But what a good tactic to use, because oftentimes when we don't have that sort of, because we have this with work, right? Like, right. We check in with our superiors more often than we probably would like to, but we don't do that with our families or in our marriage. And I like that because I think it's a preventative measure that reduces the bubble when we have arguments, right? Mm-hmm. We have arguments and all of a sudden all this stuff comes out. Right. And, you know, your significant other is like, wait, where is this coming from?
Exactly.
Those weekly check-ins help us to overcome that, so that bubble is not as big.
Exactly. I love it. That's a beautiful reframe. Yeah, it makes so much sense too. It makes so much sense because we just tend to get so lost in other things. And, you know, you just never know what your partner's even going through. You know, just let's sit down with one another. I think even for me and my husband, we wait till the kids go to sleep and just, you know, chill with one another. Just talk about, you know, our marriage, really. It's really important. So.
Mm-hmm. And so you touched on the weekly check-in and then kind of finding time to do that weekly check-in, right? Mm-hmm. So if anyone has children, making sure that they take full advantage of that bedtime.
Definitely.
This is not just bedtime. This is husband and wife.
Exactly.
For us to reconnect and unpack and, mm-hmm. and rekindle. Are there some other things that you suggest that people can do for maintenance of their marriage?
Yes. I actually really encourage, you know, especially couples who are not in therapy, to go to therapy when your marriage is going really well. Because if you usually wait until like things are just going really bad, you're already going to go in with like less hope. You're not really going to care. So I really think that being creative, right? So like, let's look at this therapy night as like a date night or something to just kind of look forward to help our marriage. But I always encourage couples to go to therapy when things are going really well. Let's build on the, you know, what's going right in our marriage, our strengths. Because so when, you know, a challenge or a trial or tribulation happens, we're better prepared, right? We can utilize our strengths to really overcome, you know, some of the challenges that marriage brings. So I definitely encourage that. And I also encourage creativity. Some people, which, you know, I'm thinking of my clients, they complain that they don't have the time, right? I don't have time to check in with my husband. I don't have time to check in with my wife. I'm busy at work. I'm tired. You know, well, let's be intentional, right? Like, let's actually bring out a planner, a calendar, something, and literally write in, like, as if you're writing for a meeting or something. Like, write in, like, I have a meeting with my husband at 2:00 on Wednesday. Like, just like at work, when you have meetings and you have things that you have to schedule, whether it's your calendar on your computer, let's be intentional. Let's really be mindful of, you know, that time that we're dedicating to our marriage. And it's literally, it doesn't have to be every single day, like once a week, twice a week, you know, things like that. It can be really helpful and can go a long way for sure. And can really help strengthen that connection right? So that we're not getting stagnant or like kind of living like as roommates, right? Like let's continue to rekindle that connection.
Oh man, I love that. So my husband and I, and this is my doing. So when I say husband and I, Jeff, I created a joint calendar. And I put all kinds of stuff on there, things that I want him to do, things that I want us to do together. But in hearing you say kind of schedule it like a meeting, I'm going to start putting that check-in on our shared calendar.
I love it.
And like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, every day. It could be once a week and it could be for 30 minutes.
Exactly.
So I love that. I think that's fantastic because this is definitely something that keeps us organized and keeps us on one accord. But starting to incorporate those actual like to do things for our marriage, mm-hmm. I think is genius.
Beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. And let me know how that goes, you know, like when we start doing it, like it's, you know, I've really, over the 6 years I've been doing this work, I've really found that a lot of couples, because they're mindful about it, right? Like that they really have taken advantage and they've seen the fruit of that. So yeah, try it out. It's amazing.
Gosh, that's so good. And you mentioned another thing that I just want to unpack as well. As we know, there is a stigma associated with family therapy. Mm-hmm. We often like to suggest that, oh, something must be wrong if said couple is in therapy. And what you're suggesting is to start therapy when we're happy so that couple perhaps is more receptive mm-hmm. to continuing that work maybe when things aren't.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think is that something that you feel that you encounter often where maybe you've got a new couple and they're sitting down, they're like, I don't even know why I'm here. There's nothing wrong with us. We're not working.
Right. Yeah. I've definitely encountered that on a handful of occasions where a couple will come in and, you know, one of the partners will just kind of roll their eyes or I don't really understand why I'm here. So that's kind of where I kind of dig deep into, tell me what's going right in your marriage, but what are some things that you feel like you want to improve on? Like if I were to wave a magic wand and, you know, if you want to wish something, you know, for your marriage, what would that be that would make you so happy? I think it's common with couples that one or even both of the partners are just, they're over it. They don't, you know, and but one thing I always say to my clients is like, well, I appreciate you being here because what it tells me is that you care about your marriage. You care about your relationship, because if you really didn't care, you wouldn't be here. You'd be using your hour and a half somewhere else, but you're here in therapy mm-hmm. and you've taken that courage to talk about some deep, painful things. And I'm always applauding, you know, my clients. So
yeah, gosh, and I think that's so cool because I'm thinking about just the generational gap, right? Like, so when I mentioned therapy to my mom a while ago, she was like, therapy? Well, I don't need therapy. She was almost offended by it. And I kind of had to share with her. I'm like, hey, like, I just want you to know that therapy is about like continued growth, right? Like it's about me wanting to be the best version of myself that I can possibly be. I don't want to be stagnant. And therapy is one of the ways that I can do that. I want you to shake that negative connotation that you just associated with therapy because I'm working on myself. And so I think that that's also really important for anyone listening who's thinking about a therapy or just understanding that it's such a powerful tool. And I want us to shake that negative connotation with it because it's really just about continued growth and an investment in yourself for that growth.
Thank you for that question. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is just the overall stigma of mental health, particularly in the Black community. And just the way mental health is talked about in the Black community, right? Yeah. Like, oh, like therapy's for crazy people, or oh, therapy is for like people who are weak, just pray it out, go to church. During the first year of my PhD program, I actually published an article about mental health in the Black community from a spiritual perspective. So I partnered with pastors from like big, like mega churches in Philadelphia, and really just kind of talked about the barriers that keep African Americans from seeking help. And like, that's a big thing, right? The stigma and just not really feeling, you know, the need to go because you have Jesus, which is fine, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you can have Jesus and therapy. Therapy is not for weak-minded people, or, you know, there's nothing, you know, everybody has imperfections and we all have parts of ourselves that, you know, we want to improve. And so the goal of therapy is really just to gain new insights about yourself, about your behavior, about, you know, how you relate to the world and people around you. So I really think it starts from how we talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. Instead of like, you know, slapping this stigma on it by saying it's for crazy people or it's negative, really just talking about the positive sides of it. Just like you were saying, like, I'm going for growth. I want to continue to grow and be the best version of myself, not be stagnant. So, and therapy provides that. It provides that space for that. So I really think it starts from just how we talk about it. And I think given the circumstances that 2020 has brought upon us, I'm starting to see, you know, people really, especially Black people, really talking more about mental health. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy to see that, because again, you know, we need to really break that stigma and really kind of just talk about the positives of therapy.
Yeah. So, and you just reminded me of a quote I actually posted on Instagram today. It said, are you going to boss up or are you going to cry about it? And then it said, first of all, I'm going to do both. And I love that, especially when what you just said about, you know, spirituality. Like, yeah, I am going to pray about it, but I'm also going to go to therapy.
Exactly.
First of all, I'm going to do both. Yeah. So I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. And so on the topic of, you know, kind of seeking out therapy and mental health, what resources are available for anyone who's kind of looking to make that investment in their marriage or in their family? What sort of tools are out there that we can look for?
Definitely. So I think when I put myself in a client's shoes or a potential client's shoes, the first thing I'm going to do is go to Google, right? Like, I'm going to Google, what are some therapists or mental health counselors or therapists that are near me? And some of the popular platforms for therapy is, there's one called Psychology Today. So you could just Google Psychology Today. You can literally put in your zip code and it'll just literally bring up, like, you know, therapists in that area. You could also filter it to specific to your needs, right? So mm-hmm. if you need individual counseling because you've been feeling sad lately, you've been feeling anxious, you can actually filter, you know, that specific, and therapists will come up that will meet that need. There's also a platform called Therapy for Black Girls. It's a huge organization. There's like a blog and a podcast, and you can also find Black therapists if you're more comfortable with, you know, someone of your own race. There's a bunch of therapists and counselors and social workers on that site too, and there's one for men as well. It's called Therapy for Black Men. And there's also one called like Therapy Den. So again, that's just the platform of many different therapists that have different specializations. So that's kind of where one can start. If they are looking to make that investment, they can start there. Psychology Today, Therapy for Black Girls, or Therapy for Black Men, or Therapy Den. And if you are thinking about like fees or finances, a lot of insurance covers mental health support at 100%. So I would really encourage anyone listening out there, like, call your insurance and, you know, kind of see, you know, whether you have a copay or not. But it's usually, especially in Minnesota, 100% covered. So okay. You don't have to worry about the fees.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm so glad you touched on that, because I know that's definitely a big concern, because sometimes it can get really expensive. So mm-hmm. just kind of touching on the fact that maybe there's just some additional research that needs to be done to get those resources and make mm-hmm. sure that they're able to kind of fit in that budget and even be free. So that's
exactly great. Exactly.
I love that. So we talked about the mind, and we talked about just kind of the maintenance from an emotional perspective. For anyone who's listening, who's looking to rekindle that romance within their relationship, what are some tools that you suggest for that?
Yes, good question. I love this question. This is something I do in my own marriage. So I, you know, with 2020, the quarantine has kind of like messed up some things, but I always, literally, I always encourage my couples to be as creative as you can get. And that could be literally buying, literally going to the store, buying a new, completely new outfit for yourself, something that you feel confident and beautiful in, and just getting dressed up just for nothing, right? There was one time recently, I just got dressed up and put on my makeup, you know, got everything ready. And my husband was so confused, but like, he loved it, right? Cause it's like, you're seeing me in a whole different like element. So just random things like that. And another thing that I talk to my couples about is intimacy, right? Like, how often are you even having, you know, making love or having sex? Like, how often are you doing that? Is that just like once in a blue moon? What's getting in the way, you know, of you having that regular sex? Because I think it's important. That's a very important way to stay connected and be intimate. And if there's barriers like children, which is my case, again, just schedule. If you have to schedule it out, you schedule it out, right?
Right.
My kids are in daycare 3 days a week. Like, I try to take advantage, you know, of that time. So little things like that. And like I said, just being as creative as you can be. But intimacy is huge, because that could really, you know, just leave a really lasting and a lasting impact on your marriage if you're continuously doing that. So
yeah. And I also feel like intimacy is kind of like sort of a taboo topic sometimes.
It is. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. And you're mentioning that it's important as it relates to not even just intimacy from a sex perspective, but just a closeness perspective. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so are there any sort of, so if I'm coming to you and I'm a couple, is that something that I can unpack in my session with you, or is there a specialist that that couple would need to seek?
Oh, good question. When it comes to intimacy, yes. So there are certified sex therapists out there, but if you're just looking for ways to be intimate in other ways, like definitely a licensed couples therapist or a licensed marriage and family therapist like myself, we can explore different ways to really rekindle that fire again. But if it's just in specific to like sex, there mm-hmm. are certified sex therapists out there that have like specific training on how to enhance your sex life.
Yeah.
It's something I definitely encourage for my clients as well. I'd usually make referrals to local certified sex therapists for some of my couples. So, and it's, yeah, they find it really helpful. So
I love that. And I love that you you mentioned just kind of thinking of innovative ways to keep it spicy, like mm-hmm. something as small as putting on makeup and getting dressed up. And mm-hmm. and that's definitely something I've been challenging myself to do, just to kind of, what can I do with myself that'll make him kind of like double take? And I was mm-hmm. chatting with one of my friends, and I was telling her, like you said, quarantine is like bringing out a whole new beast in all of us. and my husband sent me some movie tickets. This was like when theaters first opened back up, and we love the movies. Like, we're like that old married couple, like dinner and a movie, that's mm-hmm. us. And so I was on the phone with her, and I'm like, oh my God, Mel just sent me movie tickets. I think we're going to the movies at like 7. And I was like, oh gosh, but I don't feel like getting dressed. I'm just going to throw on some leggings and a sweatshirt. And she got so mad.
Like,
I feel like I could see the rage, even though we're not on FaceTime. She's like, are you kidding me? You better get dressed. This is date night. And I was so grateful that she cut into me like that, because mm-hmm. I didn't realize that I was in this like routine of like, mm-hmm. he doesn't care what I look like. I can look like whatever.
Right.
And I remember I got dressed and I came upstairs and I like looked. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. He's looking at me like, oh, well, let me go change. And he changed.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. So it was like, I didn't realize how impactful that was going mm-hmm. to be.
Exactly. And yeah, like I said, with quarantine, look, girl, I've been looking rough, just because with being a mom and you're just, I'm busy with work. I'm like, I don't have time to be getting dressed. But honestly, just like, planning a date night and planning like an outfit around that. And even, yes, you know, randomly gifting your partner with an outfit, you know, I think that those are different ways to like spice things up. So yeah, it's great.
mm-hmm. I love that. that reminds me of, like, you know, like movie scenes and like whatever mm-hmm. rom-com, and they're like, pick you up at 7.
Yes. Like, yes, I love it.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I love that. So I guess that brings me to my next question. Do you see any sort of commonalities in couples that maybe fall in love, fall out of love, and mm-hmm. maybe take a step back and say, is this normal? Should I call it quits? Mm-hmm. And the reason why I ask that is because oftentimes people don't realize that there are ups and downs in your marriage, and you will mm-hmm. have times where you cannot stand that person. But that doesn't mean mm-hmm. that it's time for a divorce. It simply means that you guys are going through a season. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something we unpack in therapy to kind of overcome that. But what do you say to that?
Yes, you know, I actually would have to agree with you that, you know, marriages, literally, there's ebbs and flows. There's times where you're not going to like your partner. There's times you're going to just love them and just find them so attractive. Like, there was a time, like, my husband got like this different haircut, and I was like, wow, you know, but then there's times I'm like, you're annoying me, please get away from me. Like, you know, it's all normal. And it's funny because in the beginning of my, you know, my practice and my experience, I saw a lot of younger couples who were engaged, right? And they actually reported that as a fear. Like, well, what if, you know, marriage is for life? What if I just like fall out of love, or like don't, you know, don't love him anymore, you know? And I say, like, expect that, right? Expect that. They expect that there's going to be times where you really just don't want to be around your partner. And one thing I do like to say too is, like, you know, there's one thing to love your partner. You're always going to have that love for your partner, but do you really like that person? Do you like Ooh. Their personality? Do you like being around them? Do you like being in their presence? What are some things you like about your partner? I ask a lot of my couples that, and that kind of, once I assess for that, that kind of gives me information of, like, okay, you know, you guys are able to go through the ebbs and flows, right? You like this person, you like who they are. I mean, clearly something drove you to want to be engaged to them and marry them. So, you know, I always start with that. Like, do you really like that person? Do you really like being in their presence? But I always say to expect that. It does not mean that you need to divorce. It's just a season, like you said. So,
yeah. And gosh, I think that's such an important thing for people to know, just because it truly is, like you said, do you like this person? Mm-hmm. Like, can you see yourself with this person even when they get on your very last nerves? Because exactly. That's what marriage is, mm-hmm. to be honest. And I think that's something that's not talked about enough. In fact, when, I don't know if you remember that when the whole Will and Jada thing came out.
Oh, right.
And they got on the Red Table Talk, and they start talking about the entanglement. and social media had a field day with it. Mm-hmm. When they kind of said that, you know, we ride together, we die together, bad marriage for life. And they kind of did a pound. They were making fun of the entire situation, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But what I really wish that people would have got from that is that when they said that ride together, die together, bad marriage for life, that's just a rephrased version of the vows you said mm-hmm. before God when you said for better or for worse, for richer or for poor.
Exactly.
Some of that is a bad marriage in what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I think we should kind of look at that with not the lens of judgment or mm-hmm. Kind of this idea that marriage is going to be perfect always.
Exactly.
You're going to have perfect moments, yes. And no, it should not include, you know, infidelity or any of those things. But if it happens, understand that you said mm-hmm. for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. And some of these things you're going to have to navigate. Obviously, we don't want the bad.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But some of the bad can be worked out or unpacked in some capacity.
Definitely. Definitely. I always say to my couples that marriage is all about management of differences. We are all different. We all come from different backgrounds. So, you know, and disagreements are inevitable. You're going to have disagreements. You're going to have times you don't like your partner. But one thing that even I find helpful personally, every anniversary, my husband and I, we watch our wedding video. And we watch our wedding video. We like literally watch ourselves repeating the vows, you know, because it's just so important to be reminded of those, that marriage is going to be hard and it's not going to be easy, you know, all the time. So I'm so glad you brought up the importance of the vows, and for better, for worse, definitely.
Right, right. And that obviously doesn't include abuse or, you know, some of the really awful, terrible things that could happen in a marriage. But I'm simply saying to say that when you make a commitment to someone, you are also making a commitment to endure and overcome with them.
I love it. Endure and overcome. Definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And so with that, how important is premarital counseling or therapy?
Yes. You know, I personally find it really, really important, just because you really want to kind of prepare, you know, for this ride, right? For this journey you're about to embark on.
Right.
When I used to work with much younger couples who were engaged and like planning for, you know, the long-term marriage. So something I would always firstly talk about is how you talk about conflict. How do you manage conflict? And how do you, basically, how do you communicate around that? Because conflict will come up, disagreements will come up. And sometimes it's not about what is said or the content, but it's about the process, right? So how do you talk about, you know, or how do you argue? How do you fight? Just again, preparing. And I think that's what premarital counseling, it gives that space for that, right? Like let's kind of have this space to talk about how we fight, how we argue, what's our process, what's our dance. That's something I used to say, what is our dance? So I definitely think it's important. I think it's also important because it provides psychoeducation about marriage in general, and just kind of the general things to expect when it comes to marriage, the general things to even talk about before marriage, like how many kids you want, right? You know, finances, things like that. It's really important. And I'm not saying that people who don't do premarital counseling are like, you know, done for, good luck, you know, but like, I do think it's important. And it doesn't even have to be a long-term thing. Like a lot of the couples I used to see, like it would just be either like a tune-up or like once a month. Like it does not have to be like an every week thing. That's another beautiful thing about therapy. It's flexible. Like, you know, you don't have to go every week. So, I think it's important to at least have two sessions, right? Like two sessions before you get married. And that's what my husband and I did before we actually, that was required for us, for our church. In order for them to marry us, we had to go through a 6-week course. So, and I found that so helpful. So helpful.
Yes. And I think that's so important because, like you said, it kind of sets that foundation. Like, obviously, you have a foundation within your relationship. But now let's set the foundation for our actual marriage, because, you know, that's the thing that we're making the formal commitment.
Exactly.
To. That's the thing that we're making the investment.
Exactly.
And I love that you're mentioning that it can be flexible, because like you just mentioned, you know, time is a big concern. Yeah. Can I afford to make this investment with my time?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's really good. I love that.
Yeah.
So are there anything else that you want to share with our audience? Anything that we didn't touch on that you think is important?
Yes. I guess one thing I would say is just important is to just prioritize like your time and just what's important to you, you're going to give the most time to, right? So if your marriage is that important to you, you're going to be mindful about creating time to invest in that. So I guess I just wanted to reiterate the importance of creating time for connection, whether it's 30 minutes, an hour, or, you know, and being creative around your schedule. Like I said, with even for me and my, I wait for my kids to fall asleep, and that's kind of my time with my husband, or when they're in school, during our lunch breaks for work, we take our lunch breaks together. We take walks together. So I just really wanted to reiterate that to the audience for those who are married. Life happens, you know, we can be busy with our work and other demands, but you know, marriage is also a pretty important entity. So we really want to be mindful of the time we're putting into that. So I really just wanted to reiterate that.
Yeah. And it truly is it's a forever thing, right? Like nobody, I would hope, gets married with the idea that this is temporary.
Exactly.
Or, oh, I can always get divorced. No, that's not what we're doing here.
Right.
So it is worth that investment. It is worth, you know, taking it seriously and maintaining it. And that's why I thought this episode was important to be called, you know, Doctor Your Love and Marriage, because just like you go for, you know, weekly or yearly checkups or whatever the case might be, for your body, we still have to do that maintenance with our
exactly.
marriage.
Exactly. So, yes.
Awesome. I love that. So how can we find you? How can we keep up
yes.
with you? How can we connect with you? Do you do virtual sessions?
I do. I do. Yes. And, you know, as much as I really hate COVID, I've really enjoyed the, you know, the telehealth platform, just because it gives the clients that convenience, right? They don't have to get in their car and drive, you know, to the therapy, you know, session. They can just really just hop on their phone and just kind of do the therapy from there. I usually ask my clients just to be in a closed room, you know, due to privacy, but it has been really, really helpful. And the demand has been so high. So if anybody wants to find me, I'm listed on Psychology Today. So again, you just go to Google Psychology Today, and then you just put in my name, Dr. Elizabeth Adedokun. I'm also listed on Therapy Den. I'm listed there, and all my contact info is there. And you can just literally just Google me, and my profile will come up. So if you just Google Elizabeth Adedokun, Adedokun, you can find me from there. And all my I do have some open slots, which is rare. I usually am full, but I, you know, lucky for y'all, I do have some open slots. So, and I'm always happy to help, you know, help tune up some relationships. So I love what I do.
Yes. And I can feel that love and that passion come through. And so I just got to say thank you so much. You dropped so many amazing gems.
Thank you.
And guys, if you're listening and you're like, I don't think this applies to me yet, put it in your back pocket. Just tuck it away. Because like I said, this is a forever thing, and it is, there are ups and downs. They're happy, they're sad. And so there's, you know, even if you're not ready to kind of take that step or make that investment right now, just tuck it away, put it in your back pocket. Dr. Lizzie
yes.
is here. She's not going
yes,
anywhere.
Definitely.
But she is there for you guys.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jazz, so much. I am just always so like honored and pleased when I'm asked to speak, especially about things that I love and that are dear to my heart. So thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. I know my audience is very appreciative of everything you shared with us today. I can't thank
awesome.
You enough.
No
thank
problem.
You so much. That's it, wifeys. Thank you so much for listening. Until we meet again, be sure to follow us on Instagram at TheWivesClubUS and check us out online at TheWivesClub.us. And if you have any feedback or thoughts you want to share, be sure to hit us up via email at TheWivesClubUS@gmail.com. Just in case you didn't know, I love you and I'll talk to you soon. Mwah.